Good morning. Let us quiet our hearts for worship as we listen to the bell choir of the prelude. Gets us in the mood for Memorial Day. Thank you. I'd like to welcome everyone to Myerstown Church of the Brethren, whether you're a member, regular attender, or a visitor. And if you happen to see a visitor that you don't recognize close to you, make sure the ones that normally come, make them feel welcome. As far as announcements, the only one that I was given was that there's going to be praise team practice tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. Does anyone else have any announcements? And if not, they're listed in your bulletin. I found this poem that would go along with Marty's sermon this morning, and I'd like you to think about this. It's called "Make Me a Channel, Lord." Let me be a channel, Lord, through which your love can flow. Where I find darkness, let me bring a warm and hopeful glow. Help me, Lord, bring faith and trust where I find misbelief, and let me wipe the tears that come with sorrow, hurt, and grief. Help me find the way, Lord, to find new channels too, through which your love can flow until the world is one with you. Now I'd like, we have our opening hymn. If you rise and you're going to sing "Love Lifted Me," it's in the Brown Hymnal 434.
Oh,
Join with me in the call to worship, and it's found in 1 John 4:7 to 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him.
In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the way to take away our sins.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Please join me as we pray the invocation prayer. Gracious and eternal God, we thank you for the bonds of love we share within your church. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who has joined us into one living body. Enable us by your Spirit to walk together in unity, love, and purpose. To help one another by work and example, to live in faithful obedience to your will. By the justice and mercy we show one another, may your name be praised through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. We'll now have the offertory prayer. Dear God, I offer you my praise. I offer you my heart. I offer you my money. I offer you my life. Thank you for everything you have given to me. Amen. Children can be dismissed for children's church, and the ushers can now come forward. We'll have the offertory hymn, which is Praise, I Will Praise You, Lord, which is in the blue hymnal, page 76.
Thank you. morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you here this morning after a week of vacation with family. I always say it's always nice to come back from vacation. My wife and kids might say something different, but it is good to be back here this morning. I want to thank Linda for being worship leader this morning and sharing that wonderful poem. And also, I want to echo what she said about the bell choir. Thank you for the bell choir for playing those songs in honor of our country and in honor of Memorial Day. And next Sunday, I will be devoting my sermon on Memorial Day. So hope that you can come for that, as well as our time of worship. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we certainly welcome you. We invite you to join with us again. In your bulletins this morning, there's a list of names that we need to remember in prayer. A number of people listed there for prayer. I want to add a couple more this morning. The flower this morning in the altar is in memory of Katrina Wagner's mother, who passed away. Katrina Wagner's mother passed away. Betty Schwer. So keep Katrina and the family in prayer during this time. Also, I want to share that this week Walter Satizan is having surgery. The plan is the surgery is planned for Thursday morning, early morning at Lancaster General. So keep Walter and the family in prayer. You can see in your bulletins announcements. Just remind you that the executive meeting is coming up on Tuesday, and also note the chicken barbecue is Wednesday. Also note in your bulletins, save the date for Bible school, June 23rd through 27th. And the rest of the announcements you can remember in your bulletin. This week we are always want to pray for our church and our district, and this week we're praying for the Wilmington Church of the Brethren in Delaware. So keep the Wilmington Church of the Brethren, the pastor of that church, in prayer, and the Conestoga Church of the Brethren is praying for us. Let's quiet our hearts and bow our heads this morning for our morning prayer. Let us pray. God, as we gather this morning, we know, Lord, that you are God of love. You command us, Lord, to love one another. That message, Lord, is in the front page of our bulletin this morning. And it's not by coincidence, Lord, that that's there. That's there for every one of us this morning. But Lord, we thank you that you set the example for love through Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you so much for our Savior, for the path that he took on the way to the cross and dying for us, and so that we might have eternal life. Help us, Lord, to never take that wonderful sacrifice for granted. We thank you, Lord, for the church and how you gave yourself, how you started the church. We pray that we would be faithful as your people, because, Lord, Apostle Paul says that the church is one body with many members, and each one of us is responsible for being the church through our witness. We thank you, Lord, for this worship service this morning, and we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just reach down and touch each one of us here this morning. Pray, Lord, that you would do a work this morning. We don't know, Lord, how you work, but we know, Lord, that you touch our hearts in many ways. Lord, this morning we lift each one of the prayer concerns this morning. For each individual mentioned there, they might be a friend of someone here this morning that's going through some very difficult times. It might be family. We lift each person and each circumstance to you. And God, help us to know, Lord, that if we're facing a trial this morning, to not focus so much on the trial, but to focus on you. Lord, we lift up this morning Walter Satizan, who's having surgery. We pray, oh God, for your strength and healing to be with Walter and Cindy. We know that Walter's been through a lot of health challenges, Lord, but we know, Lord, that you've been with him. We just pray, Lord, for your strength and healing to be with Walter on Thursday. We pray for the ones who are doing this procedure, Lord, that you would anoint them with your Holy Spirit. We also lift up Katrina this morning, who is dealing with the loss of her mother. We pray that you give her and her family strength during this time. We pray that we as a church would surround Katrina, Lord, with your love and concern. This week, Lord, we want to lift up a church. In particular, Lord, we lift up the Wilmington Church of the Brethren. We pray for that church and for the witness that they provide, for the ministry that goes on. Lord, for any ministry needs that they have, whether it's financial needs or members who are faithfully witnessing, we just pray that you would anoint that ministry. We also pray your anointing to come upon the pastor of Wilmington Church and just give that pastor, Lord, your strength and mission to shepherd the church in the way that you would want. And Lord, as we approach a Memorial Day, help us to be grateful for the men and women who have died serving our country. We thank you for their service. We pray that we would have a love for our country, and we do lift up our country at this time, and particularly our president. We pray that you would anoint him from on high, Lord, that he would seek your direction. Lord, just surround him, Lord, with godly men and women, to protect him and also to lead. Pray for the members of Congress and Senate, Lord, that you would give them, Lord, wise, godly counsel, Lord, to lead us as a nation. We lift up our church, Lord. We thank you for the church here, and we pray, Lord, for our witness, for the needs that you have provided, and we pray, Lord, that we would faithfully serve you as a church. We pray now that you would continue to be with us as we look into our scripture text this morning, Lord, that it would give us, Lord, guidance and wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for the many things that you have given us, and we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Turn with me to our scripture text this morning. We're looking at John 13, 31 through 35. John 13, this is a well-known passage, talks about the baptism or the Jesus washing his disciples' feet, but after he washed his disciples' feet, he gave us the commandment to love. John 13, 31 through 35. Hear the word of the Lord. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your holy word, which you give to us, which you give to church. Pray that we would be faithful to your word in our reading, in our study, in our devotion. And now I pray that you would guide the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, that Jesus Christ would be uplifted. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Every once in a while, when I'm watching a big-time football game, I see the words John 3:16. Every once in a while, when you see a touchdown scored and they kick the extra point, someone holds up that sign, John 3:16. Have you ever wondered why John 3:16 is such a popular verse for many people? Let's read that verse together. Let's look at that. Let's read it together as a congregation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, that's a wonderful verse about who God is, isn't it? It's a wonderful verse about who God is. It's a wonderful verse about who Jesus is. And I have a theory about why that verse is so popular among people. And the reason is that it puts the responsibility to love on God and not us. For God so loved the world. It's all about God's love to everyone in the world and to the world. But what about our responsibility to love? In today's lesson, and in your inserts I have this, in today's lesson, Jesus puts the responsibility to love back on us. In other words, love is just not about God's love towards us. God's love is back on us as we love one another. Someone once said this about love. To love the world is no big chore. It's that miserable guy next door who's the problem. How many of us have miserable neighbors next door? How many of us have neighbors who are hard to love? Or maybe in-laws that are hard to love? Or someone that you work with that's hard to love? First, in your insert, the first point, to love is a sacrifice. Many people just don't want to sacrifice anything in their lives in order to love others. Love is all about my needs, my wants. If you read Paul's letter in 1 Corinthians, that shows you what love is when it comes to the world. Let's look at that, 1 Corinthians 13. And if you look at verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Verse 8. Love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fall. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. And now, verse 13. Now, faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. What does love mean to you? What does love mean to you? Let's look at John 13, and let's hear what Jesus has to say about love. Jesus has a completely different outlook on what love means. John 13, the whole chapter of John 13. This morning's scripture text, we see that Jesus is with his disciples. It's a wonderful passage. We all know this as brethren, as Jesus washed his disciples' feet, verses 1 through 17. A very well-known text about how Jesus washed his disciples' feet, a very holy moment. But then later on, things get a little tense. Things get a little tense. Look at John 13, 21. When Jesus has said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And then we see Jesus identifies his betrayer as Judas. And then we see Judas leaves the room. He leaves the upper room. We had no idea why he left the room. The disciples had no clue why he left the room. And that leads to the first, verse, John 13, 31. "So when he had gone out," that is Judas, "Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him.'" Now some biblical commentators say things changed when Judas left the room. He said, now you have Jesus and his disciples, and now they can have a good discussion because the tension of the betrayer just left the room. And if you think about it, one person can change the dynamics of a group conversation. That was the case here. Things got a little tense there. Look what it says, where it says, "The Son of Man is glorified." What Jesus means when he says the Son of Man is glorified is that the only way Jesus would be glorified, the only way Jesus would be uplifted before God is through his own death. That would be the only way God would be glorified. And so this whole crucial time was before Jesus and the disciples. It was a very, very important time to love one another. And it happened during the most difficult time. Look at John 13, 33. Jesus says, "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come, so now I say to you." So Jesus basically tells his disciples, "Hey, when I'm gone, it's all up to you. It's all up to you to continue my love by loving one another." Now put yourself in a place of the disciples. How would you act? You're in this tense situation with Jesus and the disciples. Judas left the room. He's the betrayer. They're at a very crucial time. And he says to love one another. How would you leave that upper room? Would you have a plan? Would you have a mission to fulfill? And that leads to the second point in your inserts. Jesus preached a message of love to his disciples and the church. The message of love was given to his disciples and the church, us. And he gave this message of love in a form of a commandment. Look at verse 34. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." This kind of love in the New Testament is called agape love. Agape love means to have high esteem, high regard. It says that love is part of God's nature. Love is the highest esteem that God has for his children. And therefore, God tells us that we are to love God in return and love one another. So why did Jesus call the commandment to love a new commandment? It was actually not a new commandment. Because if you look at Leviticus 19... The Bible says to love your neighbor. Let's look at that. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Leviticus 19, verse 18. God says, you shall not take vengeance. You shall not get even, in other words. You shall not bear grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And so we see that this was not really a new commandment. But the problem is that somehow the people lost the commandment to love one another, which is why we, in turn, need to be told to one another. We need to be reminded over and over again so it becomes a new commandment. I remember one time early on in my ministry, I was in the interview process I was leaving my first church and looking for a placement at the second church. And there were several churches that sent their profiles, and I was going around church to church interviewing. I was at this one church, and I was sitting there with the search committee of the church, and the district executive was there. And I shared about who I was. You know, the normal procedure is that, you know, with any pastoral candidate in search committee, you share a little bit about who you are, your calling to ministry, and you share your gifts, and I did all that. And then it was time for the committee, the search committee, to share about who they were as a church. I was asking questions about the church, say, hey, you know, what kind of church are you, so to speak? And that's when the conversation got very interesting between the committee members of this one church. One member of the search committee was complaining about how the church never welcomed him as a new member, and they don't welcome new people. I don't know how that guy ever got to be on the search committee. That's another story. The chairman of the search committee got a little agitated at this guy, and they got into an argument. And this was in the middle of the interview of a partial candidate. And so after this argument was over, the chairman of the search committee calmly looked at me and said, as you can see, we have a problem as a church. We have a problem here in the church. I was thinking, yeah, I can see that. And that leads to this question. Should Christians have to be told to love one another? You would think not. If we are people who have Jesus in our hearts and lives, love should naturally come out of our hearts. I always like to use the playground rules for an example of how we should handle love and forgive others. When I was in elementary school, we had recess, and we would always play kickball at recess. And that recess time was usually a time when fights would happen between the kids and arguments would happen. And I never got into any fights in school. I never did that. But this one day, I got into an argument with a kid about the rules of kickball. I don't know what the argument was about, but it was a pretty bad argument to the point where the teacher kind of had to intervene between us. And kind of, you know, the teacher had to be peacemaker between us. And I'll never forget how the teacher handled this argument between us. She basically grabbed the two of us by the collar and turned towards each other and says, okay, you guys apologize to each other. And so we did. I said, I'm sorry. He said, I'm sorry. She said, that's fine. You can go back to your game. We looked at each other and says, okay, let's go back and play kickball. It was all forgotten. It was done. Gone in the past. Conflict was forgotten. Sometimes I think the church needs to practice playground rules. Notice what the teacher did. She forced us to look at each other and apologize when sometimes we don't want to do that. The Apostle Paul dealt with the same problem in the church. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:9. 1 1 Thessalonians 4:9. That's back around Hebrews, right before Hebrews. You have all the T's, Timothy and Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, Paul is visiting this church, and he tells the people in this church, concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. So in other words, Paul is telling the people in the church, you know, I really don't have to tell you this, because you already know it. He was telling them, retelling them to love one another. Now look back at our main text, John 13:35. Jesus continues on this message of love. John 13:35. Jesus says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. In your inserts, it says this: love is a witnessing tool to others. That's what Jesus is saying here. Love is a witnessing tool to others. By this, Jesus says, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. In other words, Jesus says the way you show your love to others is a witnessing tool for who you are as a Christian, for the church. There was an early church father whose name was Tertullian. He was born in AD 145 to a Roman centurion. His parents were pagan, unbelievers, nothing to do with the church, nothing to do with Christianity. He was raised in that environment. Later on in Tertullian's life, he began to be interested in Christianity. He was impressed with certain Christian attitudes and beliefs, and he was eventually converted to Christianity in year 185, and he ended up being a defender of the Christian faith. And in one of his well-known quotes, Tertullian said this about what he saw with Christians. He said, and I quote, "See how they love one another. They are ready to lay down their lives for each other." See how they love one another. This is how the first Christians were distinguished from the rest of the world. It was through their love. It was through the witness of love. It was through the way they loved each other. And this is what Jesus thought as he was about to go to the cross to die. He was telling the disciples, you will be known by others by your love. I ask myself sometimes, have we as Christians in the church lost that message that we are known by our love for one another? That's what Jesus is getting at in the text for today. I want us to take a moment and look at John 13 in its context and see what this has to do with loving each other. John 13 is known as Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples. Now, what is a farewell discourse in Scripture? It was a milestone in Jesus' ministry. In Bible times, if there was a leader in the church who knew that they would soon die, they would gather their loved ones around them, and they would give them instructions, they'd give them advice, they give them assignments about how to live their lives so that they could pass on their legacy. For example, Joshua in the Bible, he gathered the elders and gave them instructions about the importance of maintaining the land. For Joshua, the land was all important. King David was another one who had a farewell discourse. He called his son Solomon and gave him instructions about the importance of keeping the commandments. So for Solomon, the commandments of God were of utmost importance. He wanted that to continue on to his son. the Apostle Paul called Timothy and gave a farewell discourse to Timothy, young Timothy, and gave Timothy instructions about the importance of preaching and teaching the Word of God, and to be patient while you preach and teach. And so for Paul, preaching and teaching the Word was of utmost importance. But here in John 13, Jesus only gave his disciples one instruction before he died, and one commandment, and that was to love one another. That's all he gave him. That's all he told him. Nothing else. Nothing about, you know, what you're to do with an inheritance or things like that. It's all about just loving one another. And after Jesus gave this commandment to love, the disciples left the upper room to face a cold, cruel world. What a witness that would be. Notice Jesus didn't tell the disciples how to love others or how to love someone who hates you. He simply said, love others as I have loved you. You say, well, how am I to love someone when they hate me? Or how can I love others when my life is so messed up? Well, this is a challenge that the church, the overall church, faces today. How can I love when everything around me is so complicated? How can I love when the world is so complicated? When others are so messed up? How can I love? Well, we can't control other people. We can't control their actions. But we can control our personal witness. We can control our actions. We can control by showing them love in return. And this is where I want you to focus on what your own love witness means today. It begins with our actions. It begins with our own love witness. It begins with our character. I've been a pastor now for 28 years now. And in my 28 years of ministry, I've done many, many, many funerals. I've listened to many people's eulogies. I've heard many people's remembrances of loved ones who have died. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that every remembrance and every eulogy I heard about someone who died spoke about one thing, and that was their character. Their witness by the way they treat others. You and I are known by our character, by the way we treat others, by our witness of love. You say, well, what about achievements? What about awards? What about trophies? Well, those are good. Nothing wrong with awards and trophies. But I guarantee you're not going to be remembered by your rewards or trophies. You're going to be remembered by the good things that you do for other people. You're going to be remembered for your character. Like helping someone out when they're in need. Or taking the time to listen to someone who's hurting. Or encouraging someone who's struggling with a problem at work. People never forget these things. People will never forget your love witness. You and I will be remembered by our Christian character. The church is known by our Christian character, by how much we care for one another. And this morning, we're going to be closing with a song that's in your inserts. It speaks about our witness of love to each other. They'll know we're Christians by our love. And as we sing this song, think about the words. Think about the witness. Think about how this can speak to you. How this can be your witness. Let's end with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the example that you have shown us through the example of love. And I pray, Lord, that as we leave here today, that we would show that love to others. We thank you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing our closing song, They'll Know We Are Christians, number 429. It's in your inserts. As we close here this morning, I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 13, the very last verse of the love chapter for our benediction. And now faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen.